You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 6th of January 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshank, streaming at radioalbion.com. It seems like forever since we had Grandpa Dan on the show. We haven't seen Grandpa Dan since, last year at least, and he wasn't here for his Parish of the Patriots last week, but he was here this week, and he is here today. You'll be pleased to know. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir? Thank you very much for coming back on the show. Have a happy new year, and how are you doing?
Don't pay the ransom. I've escaped. I am alive. Don't pay the mortician. People were probably worried, thought I'd been disappeared, but no, I'm still here, off on sabbatical or something. No, it is great, and it's our first back on the Daily Nationalist for 2023, and I'm glad to see, looking at today's story, is going to be much like the Daily Nationalist on Fridays for 2022. We're keeping the tradition alive, Sven.
Yes, we're back on the Daily Transitionalist. We have a trans story to talk about today, the gift that just keeps on giving. We're talking about a trans priest, a non-binary priest, says God guided them to come out after an epiphany. Bingo Allison, 36, is to their knowledge the first openly non-binary priest to be ordained in the Church of England. And I do wonder whether that name Bingo is what they actually had before. And you do think the name Bingo, I mean, it's rather like the name that you might call a pet dog, something like that. And I just do not get the way that these people say that God told them to come out. I mean, where would they ever get the impression that God wants people to be homosexual or transgender? I mean, all you have to do is look at the Bible, and it tells you that homosexuality is a punishment in the New Testament. It says it's a punishment for not having a sufficient love of the truth. And in the Old Testament, it says that the state needs to execute sodomites. And of course, I'm not encouraging the execution of sodomites here, but it is quite clear that the Bible is against homosexuality. It does not view it as something that it wants people to engage in. And yet we have these people that claim to be homosexual Christians that then claim that God told them to come out. And now we have this priest here who looks to be very, very confused, possibly schizophrenic. If you actually look at their face, that one's half of their face, the eye looks really vacant, and then the other half of the face, the eye is doing something different, and they've got sort of one half of their mouth goes up in a smile and the other half goes down. It's quite clear that they've got some kind of a split personality. They seem to think that Christianity is all about pro-trans, pro-homosexuality. You would think, well, you know, what on earth is a person like this doing being ordained by the Church of England? But it seems this is what the Church of England want to promote nowadays. They've obviously ordained this person. Grandpa, what do you make of this non-binary priest, Bingo Allison?
As tempted as you may be to sing that song, you know, Bingo was his name, you can't do that. You see, you've got to say Bingo was their name. You have to use the proper pronoun. I'd probably be screwed up too if I had a name like Bingo Allison. You know, you hear that whole thing about, don't, you were talking about the way this person looks, and you hear as a kid growing up, don't judge a book by its cover. Let me tell you, from my personal pulpit, that's bullshit. You can definitely judge a book by the cover. You look at a person like this and they said, I'm a priest, it's okay, leave your small boys with me, and that voice that says, don't judge a book by its cover, is lying to you. You say, no, I don't think I'll. What the hell is with the Church of England's been? I don't know, because I'm not in England. The Church of England is apparently a real mess if they've got people like Bingo Allison, the non-binary priest. I was wondering if God spoke to them and told them to come out, if they might have asked God to explain to them how their soul got trapped in the wrong body. But apparently, because I've already, obviously, spoiler alert, I've obviously read through the story, we don't get an answer to that. God apparently was being very hush-hush about, you know, trying to cover up his mistakes, putting the wrong soul in the wrong soul in the wrong body. So yes, we can already tell we're in one paragraph in, and we can already see where we're going with this story.
You know, I do feel very, very sorry for people like this Bingo Allison. I mean, to think that they think that they look good with a balding hairline and a cleavage. I mean, they're really sort of saying to society, please help me. That's what it looks like to me. That's somebody saying, please help me. But instead of helping them, we just put them on a pedestal and we say, oh, yes, this is perfectly normal to claim that God told you to come out as a homosexual, and perfectly normal to have a balding middle-aged man's hairline and then have a cleavage as well. Now, Bingo, who now works in Liverpool, visits schools across the area and hopes to inspire LGBTQ plus young people and show them they have a place in the church. But again, that goes completely against Christian teaching, isn't it? Christian teaching is that you should avoid homosexual acts. Christian teaching isn't, if you happen to be homosexual, come and join our church. I mean, that is the complete opposite of what Christianity is. And what this person is doing is actually preaching the opposite of Christianity. And then they wonder why the church is losing people and less people actually go to this church. And another point that we should remember when looking at this, and they're talking about LGBTQ plus young people. So, and all of those letters effectively mean homosexual. What does homosexual mean? Well, homosexual is somebody that engages in homosexual acts. That is what a homosexual is. Now, if you're a child and you are at school, you're not supposed to have engaged in any sexual acts. And it seems that if we are talking about homosexual acts, that's perfectly okay for children to say that they've engaged in homosexual acts. But of course, if they were heterosexual and they were to say, well, I've been engaging in sexual acts, then there would probably be an investigation to find out what is going on. But we seem to miss this point that when we actually talk about gay children, by saying that they are gay, you're saying that they have engaged in homosexual acts. That means if they are a child, that they have been abused. And again, surely that should mean that we should be raising alarm bells, not hoping to inspire people that have been abused by showing them somebody else that has probably been abused. I mean, I think it's something like 50% of homosexuals say that they were abused by an older homosexual, or a lot of them just try to rationalize it and they say their first sexual experience was with an older homosexual. And if they were a child, that means that they were abused. So instead of doing something about this, we're hoping to inspire these youngsters to turn into homosexuals themselves, which is against what it says in the Bible. And I'm not trying to be hateful against homosexuals here. I'm just pointing out that is what the Bible says. And this is also what the definition of a homosexual is. And this is also what the law is. You know, if you're having sexual acts under the age of 16, it is in Britain, then that comes under child abuse. But we just seem to forget all of this where homosexuals are concerned, and we just want to pat them on the back and say how wonderful they are, which is obviously what's going on here with this Bingo Allison. What do you make of homosexuals going into schools to inspire homosexual children, Grandpa?
Well, you know, just to kind of further the point you made, you can think of it and take it another step further, and you know, the amount of people that are abused, and those are the ones that admit to it, that were abused as whether they're adolescents or even younger. And you can take it a step further and say how many, you know, being as that's a traumatizing thing and their brain is having a hard time working this out, and how many times that they go back and reengage in that activity. Are they're in a lot of ways, if you think about it, they're reenacting the abuse. They're reenacting that abuse because their minds are trying to sort this out. You know, why did this happen? Why did I have these feelings while it was happening? Was I a victim? Was I abused? Did I enjoy it? I don't understand. And they go back and they're in a lot of ways, if you think about it, every time, even as adults, they partake in this activity. They're in a lot of ways, I think these people are reenacting the abuse because mentally they're trying to process it. They're trying to process this here. I think it's worth pointing out once again, LGBTQ plus, they won't say it. The plus stands for the P. They don't want to put the P on there. They've always gotten with the memes, they got really upset. And you know the memes are correct by how upset they get. And the groomer meme is something that really, really set them off. But it's obviously accurate. Time and time again, we read these stories. And what is it always about? Going into the young people, going in and into the school, they're obsessed with going to the kids. And we see this time. All of these stories are always about. We have these stories here in the States where, you know, they go into these schools and these people are putting these books in here telling fourth graders how to give oral sex to a grown man. This obsession with reaching the young people. Of course, they try to frame it up as, you know, so that they understand that we love them and we want them to understand. It's always this obsession with young people. Once again, highlighting the point that the plus here is the P that they don't want to put out. And finally, as far as the Christian aspect of it, as if there was any, there is a biblical aspect to what this person is saying. And I'm thinking of Jesus' warning that anyone who causes one of these young ones to sin would be better off having a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the lake, thrown into the ocean. I think that applies here. We're seeing that play out. They can deny the truth all they want to. They can sit here and pretend like they're doing God's work, and it's a blasphemy. It's a lie. It's a heresy. And understand that these people ultimately will pay the price. I'm going to avoid preaching. That's not what this show is, but there's a whole lot of spiritual stuff for sure going on here. And the voices, if this guy is hearing a voice and a revelation, it ain't from God.
That's also an implication of adultery here, because Bingo is actually a father. They have three children, and now they're saying that in actual fact that they're a homosexual, and yet they're still married. So they're clearly identifying as somebody who engages in homosexual acts, but whether or not they've engaged in the acts, we're not actually told. Now, Bingo is from West Yorkshire. Grew up in a strongly religious household and said they were raised to believe that acting on being gay was sinful. So they're sort of implying there that they have been acting out these homosexual acts. And they're also saying there as if this is intrinsic to the person themselves. They're actually gay. Well, you're not gay unless you carry out gay acts. You're not a homosexual unless you engage in homosexual acts. I mean, that's what this word actually means there. So they were in actual fact they were being correctly taught here. Acting on being gay was sinful. I mean, what they're really trying to say there is you're not actually gay unless you engage in homosexual acts. I mean, that's what was actually being said there, but they seem to have got confused here, and they think that it's born into them. They were just born this way. But as far as I'm aware, with the church as well, they say that if you've been involved in same-sex relationships, you're supposed to not engage in them if you are a priest. And they do have priests that claim to be gay priests, and they will say, well, I don't engage in sodomy, for instance, so it's okay for me to be a priest. But then they still identify as being homosexual, and they still go out and talk to homosexuals and say, come and join the church. And you can engage in sodomy while still joining the church. I mean, the whole point of Christianity is to help people to not go back to their sins. It's to forgive them of their sins, people who want to be forgiven of their sins. And what they're effectively saying here is, what the church is now teaching is that it's no longer a sin to engage in sodomy. And I mean, what was it? Where does the word itself comes from? Sodomy comes from God destroying the city of Sodom because they were engaging in these unnatural acts. It's like they've turned church teaching completely on its head. And it doesn't surprise me that they do like to pick these people and say, well, it's because this person had a strongly religious upbringing. And of course, that's the reason why they're homosexual. And that sort of implies to parents, don't give your children a strongly religious upbringing because they might rebel against it and they might end up being homosexual. But I think really what they're actually taught there is correct, that it's only if you engage in homosexual acts that you are a homosexual. That's what's sort of implied here, that they were taught to believe that acting on being gay was sinful. And so they're basically saying, well, no, that's wrong. And it's okay. They can act on being gay, even though they're married, which means that they're carrying out adultery. And yet this person is being raised up as a hero, even though they're quite clearly talking about carrying out adultery here whilst being married. I mean, what do you make of it, Grandpa?
Well, you pointed to you always spot the inversion, you know, because that's how Satan works. There's always an inversion. It's always backwards. There's always a lie. One of the big lies that gets promoted, because we live in the entirety of the West, is basically satanic. And I wasn't going to preach, but there's no way I can talk about this without kind of being preachy. So I apologize for that. But we live in a satanic society. And one of the aspects of that is this message to these people that says, this is who you are. You were born this is your entire identity. This is your entire identity. And I think that it's hard for everybody else to understand how that's been drilled in. I mean, as a heterosexual person, you don't go around and, I mean, that's the center of your identity. You know, what kind of sex you engage? You've got all kinds of things that are your identity. You're a Christian believer, you're a family man, you're whatever you are in your community. You have all of these aspects that make up your identity. But when it comes to the homosexual, all these aspects of homosexuality, the society hammers home this message of that's who you are. You can't change it. Don't even try. Now, that's not the message of the Bible. The Bible is you can repent. You can change your actions. You can change your behavior. There are people here in this country that have sought out conversion therapy, which they've demonized, which is basically just, you know, working through this. As I said earlier, I believe a lot of times when people are going through these, you know, committing these acts, doing these things, they're simply going back to that and doing that because their mind cannot process what had happened to them when they were a young person. And they're reenacting that trauma, trying to figure it out. And a subconscious level, they're trying to work this out and make sense of it. Now they have, you know, and you have people that want to change from that. And they're like trying to work this out. And this conversion therapy was a way where people try to go back and get this sorted out in their head, and then they don't engage in that anymore. And there have been successful instances of this. Now, here in this country, there are certain states that have literally made it against the law to do this. I still find this to be an amazing thing. And this is where people miss out on not grasping the spiritual level of this conflict that we see in this world. And there is a definitely spiritual aspect. When you have the state come in and pass a law that says it is against the law to help somebody get past this and become something else, to become a better person, because it flies in the narrative of the lie that this is who you are, no matter what, that what you are right now is who you are. There's nothing you can do to change that. The Bible tells us, Christianity tells us, your whole life is a process, a growing process where you can continually change. You can continually grow. That's why we were given this time on this earth. But the lie, the inversion here is that this is who you are. Don't try to change it. You have to embrace it. You can never overcome it. You can never change it. And again, this is highlighted by the fact that here in this country, we have laws in states that say it's against the law to try to change. You have to be this. It's really sad. It's really amazing when you start viewing these things, you know, and again, I'm sorry for coming off kind of preachy, but when you start viewing these things with the wider view of the spiritual aspect of it, I mean, it really, really all comes together and it all makes sense. What all's at play here?
It is absolutely central to their life. They do make the sexual act completely central to their life. They define themselves by that, whereas a heterosexual doesn't identify himself and define what he does by his sexual act. As you say, Grandpa, we have all these different aspects of our identity, and you would say as a Christian that God is central to your identity. And they did try, I think they're in the process of trying to ban conversion therapy over here in Britain. I think it's been held up by the trans side of it, because they were saying that they weren't going to ban trans conversion therapy, and that I think has actually held it up. But it is strange that we're told that we have all these freedoms, we can do whatever we like as an adult. But if you want to turn yourself from homosexual to straight, oh no, we're going to ban that. We're going to completely ban that. But the converse side of that, which is, of course, all this promotion of homosexuality that we have, they're certainly not going to ban that. They're not even going to ban that to children. So as an adult, you're not allowed to try to turn yourself into a straight person if you're homosexual. But if you're a straight child, it's perfectly normal for them to bombard the straight child with all the promotion of homosexuality that they have. It's a complete inconsistency in our society. Well, the parent of three has been on a 15-year journey that included meeting other LGBTQ plus Christians that has completely changed their previously very traditional and conservative outlook on life, the Liverpool Echo reports. So they're effectively saying that being around homosexuals has completely changed them, and it's made them commit adultery and carry out homosexual acts. And we're supposed to think this is a good thing. Bingo told the Echo, "My views used to be very traditional and very conservative, certainly. Some might call them bigoted, and there was a lot of ignorance and a lot of othering. I didn't take the time to learn from other people's experiences. I was definitely in a lot of denial, and some of that denial came out in denial of other people's identities." And this is rather strange, because they're saying here they didn't take the time to learn from other people's experiences, and then later on they tell us that they've only ever met two homosexuals in their life. So who are these people that they were being bigoted against when they didn't actually meet any homosexuals? What do you make of what's being said here, Grandpa?
It's a bunch of word salad. It's a bunch of gibberish. You know, you can see this person's brain isn't functioning properly. I take the time to learn from other people's experiences. A lot of denial, othering, you know, denial of other people's identities, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, what is any of this? This is a confused person. This person's brain is not working. Basically, this person just wants to do this stuff and they're justifying it. This is what you're seeing here, and they're justifying it and saying, yep, it's the opposite of repentance, you know, taking the action to change, you know, what you're doing. This person is wanting to do these things, so they're making up all of these justifications as to why that's, you know, why that's a-okay. And you can't overlook the fact that this is a story, you know, in mainstream media, one of many that promotes this. This is being promoted, you know, and this person wants to do this stuff. They're verbalizing all of their justifications. It's not going to change the truth. The truth doesn't waver, change. You can't, you know, manipulate it around with your words. The truth remains solid. It remains what it is. And this person can voice all of their justifications of why they're wanting, but they're just wanting to do this. You know, God's not telling them to do it. God's not giving them a pat on the back for doing it. That's just their justifications to go chasing after doing these things that they obviously are just wanting to do on a sinful level. Or whatever. It's so ridiculous to see them, you know, to see this amplified in the media as though this is supposed to make some sort of sense and it's supposed to be something other than what it actually is.
You know, you can very easily tell whether God is telling you to do something or not. I mean, all you have to do is just look, is it something that is condemned by God in the Bible? Well, if it is, then he's not telling you to do it, is he? Because we know that he was condemning it in the Bible. And it never ceases to amaze me when they say, God told me to do this. And it completely contradicts what it tells us in the Bible. The 36-year-old was halfway through their vicar training, a 7-year program, when they first came across the term genderqueer. That was 7 years ago, and Bingo originally considered putting off revelations about their gender identity, but found it difficult. They said, it was a lot harder than I thought, having come out to myself, to then remain in the closet. There were definitely lots of times before when I kind of questioned my identity, but growing up in a more conservative form of Christianity meant that it was just so far beyond my imagination. I didn't know any trans people, and I think I probably met two gay people in my life. So it was like another planet almost to me. There were a few times when I really questioned things, but because I didn't really have the vocabulary to describe my experience, it just kind of didn't go anywhere. And this is quite interesting. They're saying before they were around homosexuals, they never even thought about this sort of thing. Before they were given the vocabulary to describe this sort of thing, they didn't have any experiences like this. So it kind of says that, you know, it's all this propaganda, all this homosexual propaganda that we have, and all this promotion of transgenderism that is really responsible for this. Because all the time that they were just around conservative Christians, they never even thought like this. They said it was like a completely like another planet to them. You know, it wasn't until they started hanging around gay people that they thought, oh, that must be what I am then. I must be genderqueer. And I looked up what genderqueer is to find out whether, you know, exactly what the definition is. And it turns out it can be whatever people want it to be. You know, it doesn't actually have a definition. It the definition changes depending on who it is that's actually describing themselves as genderqueer. So I guess it could mean to other homosexuals that it's somebody that engages in homosexual acts, but then they could say to the church, well, no, it's I'm celibate, but I'm just a homosexual that is celibate. I mean, it could mean anything at all. It doesn't actually mean anything concrete and definite. What do you make of what Bingo has to say here, Grandpa?
One of the common threads you'll see in this, you were talking about this whole notion of, quote unquote, God told me so, God told me to do this. One thing you'll notice time and time again, like the vast majority of the time when somebody spouts this off, you ever notice that, you know, God always winds up telling them to do what it is that they actually just want to do themselves? You ever notice that? It's like, well, God has told me, you know, to go do this, to be this, to engage in this, which just so happens to be what I was wanting to do in the first place. If you read the Bible and God's actual interactions with people, whether it's New Testament or Old Testament, it's always the opposite. It's like the people wanting to do A, B, and C, and God, when he does speak or does guide somebody, it's always like, no, you got to go over here and do this other. It's not what you want to do. But you see this all the time with these people. God is guiding me. God has told me. And it just so happens to be what they themselves wanted to do all along. Now, you have to wonder, this I kind of chuckled at this line, you know, when they say they were a vicar in training, 7-year program, when they first came across the term genderqueer, what were they looking at? I mean, this is not just exactly a term you're just going to stumble on while you're looking through your religious texts. So they were already obviously looking into this stuff. They were obviously dabbling with it and being tempted by it and starting to fantasize about it. And lo and behold, God came along and said, you know what? You need to do what you exactly want to do. You need to do what thou wilt, which happens to just be the doctrine of Satan. Do what thou wilt. You know, Christianity, God is always about, you know, the Lord's will be done. Satan says, do what thou wilt. And you see this time and time again, God told me. What did God tell you? God told me to do what thou wilt. That didn't come from God. And I'm sorry, I've been kind of preachy in this show today, but it'd be the spiritual aspect of this on a story like this, when you have somebody LARPing as a priest, as a vicar or whatever, and they're going about trying to muddle the waters. The messages are clear. When you understand what is being taught, what is taught in our Bibles, you know, what God has shown us, you know, Christianity, you know, again, interactions with God is always as a person, you humble yourself and say, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But Satan's doctrine is do what thou wilt. You have a person like this that says, God told me to what? Do what thou wilt. Just do what you want to do all along. Well, that's a dead giveaway. You know, I mean, it's the dead giveaway. They're not listening to God. God just so happens to tell them to do whatever it is that they were wanting to do all along. And that's not enough. That's not enough. Not enough that they're doing this to themselves, that they're going to go off and do these things, because we have free will. Nobody's stopping this person from going off and doing whatever it is they want to do. But it's never enough, is it? They got to go promote it to everybody else. They got to go LARP around in the church. This person, if that's really what they and with their free will decide they wanted to do, should have dropped the whole I'm going to be a priest thing and just, you know, gone to the bathhouse. You know, go do the gay thing if that's what you're going to do. But no, they have to promote it. They have to try to promote that, to push it. You know, and again, as we've covered earlier, it's always we got to go reach the young people. We got to go bring this message to the young people. Got to promote it to the young people. It's always amazing when you're aware of how all of these, you can see these patterns over and over. Do what thou wilt. Do what you want to do all along. And they go around and say, this is what God told me to do. Obviously, it's not. It's a lie. And again, we have to say it's promoted here by the mainstream media, by our society as a whole.
Well, I seem to think it's a human right that they have access to other people's children. I mean, should bear in mind that Bingo is married at this point when they're deciding that they're going to be genderqueer and God is telling them to become a transgender and to identify as being homosexual. One evening, Bingo was writing an essay about God's creation of the earth where they had an epiphany. They explained how Genesis 1:27 uses the terms from maleness to femaleness rather than men and women. And when you look up Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, there's no from maleness to femaleness anywhere. That's not a quote anywhere. I mean, this really shows that they don't actually understand, you know, what the first book of the Bible is saying. And they're supposed to be a priest, and yet they don't understand it. So they say that Genesis 1:27 uses the terms from maleness to femaleness. So if we look up Genesis 1:27 from the King James Version, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." And that's effectively saying that when you talk about man, you talk about mankind, it's including men and it's including women. That's why it says God created man, male and female created he them. And when you refer to somebody by the male pronoun, so you're talking about a policeman or a postman, it also includes women that work as policemen or women who work as postmen. You don't need to call them post-women or anything like that. Post-man also includes women. So using the term man is already extremely inclusive. But somehow Bingo looks at that and thinks, well, that's telling me to be genderqueer. Bingo said, "I was sitting there in the middle of the night when I realized I might need to run my life upside down. It was a deepening spiritual experience. I properly felt God was guiding me into this new truth about myself." And what the church school should have said is, "No, you've read this wrong, Bingo. It's not saying anything about from maleness to femaleness. It's talking about creating man in his own image. That's not a new truth. That is not telling you that you need to come out as genderqueer in front of your wife and your three children." I mean, they've got three children that must be awfully confused about this. What are your thoughts on this verse here, Grandpa? Chapter 1, verse 27 of Genesis.
Well, I mean, just because this person may have been a deeply spiritual experience, it's just not with God. And one of the dangerous things, this person's obviously a non-believer. I'm just going to say it. They don't know anything about God. They don't, you know, they can say, they can LARP all they want to, but they don't know anything about God. They don't know the Lord at all. But that doesn't mean, and this is something important, non-spiritual people, non-believer people can very much have quote unquote deep spiritual experiences. Doesn't mean those experiences are with God. I mean, the other side is working all of the time. And sure, I'm sure this person might have felt at the time they had just had a deep spiritual experience that just told them, again, as I said already, do what you're wanting to do. Just go on. You know, and God is guiding me to a new truth about myself, which just so happens to be what I've been flirting with in the back of my mind and fantasizing about doing. You know, you can have a deep spiritual experience. It doesn't mean that experience is going to be with God. I like the reference here. They says, "I was sitting in the middle of the night when I realized I might need to run my life upside down." See, they're verbalizing that inversion. I everything I thought I knew, see, I need to invert that. I need to run my life upside down. There's this reference to this inversion. I see a lot of satanic elements here. I think about, you know, our ancestors that came before and church leaders and stuff that basically said, you know, the average person isn't capable. They don't even need to have access to the Bible because they can't comprehend it. And you know, I used to think that was really old backward thinking. And the older I've gotten, the more I've come to realize that I think they were right. I mean, you look at people like this and they won't understand anything. They won't understand anything about what they're reading, about what's being conveyed. They're not, you know, dedicating themselves to understanding it. I think in a lot of ways it shows that basically what people need is for those in the church and authority to just simply explain to them what stuff is said, because left on their own, they wind up getting this inversion. They wind up thinking God's telling them to do what they wanted to do all along. And even though it's flying in the face of everything that, you know, all of God's laws that were given, it's really, and you come to where we're at now. The clown world church, the church of England, all of these other denominations that have just become a complete train wreck. You know, this is where we're at now.
You know, it was Aleister Crowley that said, "Do what thou wilt, not God." I mean, God said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." In a speech to a panel on making churches more inclusive, Bingo said Christianity had historically been guilty of prioritizing the views of rich, white, straight, cisgender, able-bodied, neurotypical men. Explaining that they are also autistic and dyspraxic, I think dyspraxic basically means clumsy, Bingo wrote, "I am passionate about fully including neurodivergent people in the life and faith of the church, particularly in our telling and retelling of stories from the Bible." The problem is if you had neurodivergent people trying to write the Bible, they wouldn't have been able to write it, would they? Because they were neurodivergent. You know, the word for that used to be mentally disabled. The history of biblical interpretation is littered littered. So she's effectively saying that Bible interpretation is just a load of rubbish there, isn't she? She's using the term litter. She says biblical interpretation is littered with the opinions of rich, white, straight, cisgender, able-bodied, neurotypical men, assuming that everyone in the passages that they read thought like them and perceived the world like them. Well, yes, the people that wrote it were white, and yes, they were straight. I mean, the Bible is quite clear about that. And why would you imagine that it was going to be any different? They say the biases that this creates exclude anyone who doesn't fit from fully engaging with the Bible, and often lead the church to miss out on vital perspectives on all sorts of biblical narratives. No, it doesn't. They tell you that you fit in with what the Bible says. You don't make the Bible fit in with what you want. If you want to fully engage with the Bible, then you have to become a straight person. You have to, you know, understand it. You have to be able to read for a start. You don't say, well, because I can't read, I'm not included in it, so I'm just going to ignore it. You have to get somebody to read it to you. So they then say, if biblical scholars tended to be neurotypical and tended to assume that everyone they read about in the Bible was like them, unless specifically informed otherwise, what would happen if I assumed the opposite? What if a neurodivergent hermeneutic started with the assumption that, unless specifically informed otherwise, certain characters were neurodivergent? Well, you wouldn't pay any attention to the Bible then, would you? Because you'd be saying, well, all the people in it are mentally disabled. Why would you be paying any attention to them? I mean, it's just ridiculous what they're talking about here. I think they are very confused, and I think really that, you know, the mainstream media has taken advantage of their confusion to make people even more confused. I mean, what do you make of what they're saying here about neurodivergence, Grandpa?
Yes, we need more craziness. That's the problem. The opening line, and it's mentioned again here about chastity, the arrogance here of basically condemning, you know, traditional church teachings is just, it really grates on my nerves. But the opening line here falls to something that is, what I want to say, it plagues the MCC, it plagues the modern church. And this is the notion that churches need to be more inclusive. It says down here, these biases, you know, create the biases that this creates exclude anyone who doesn't fit from fully engaging with the Bible. We need to be more inclusive. The church is not supposed to be inclusive. You know, we read that only a few. There's these patterns from Old Testament to New Testament. This is a shame that so many in the church just ignore the Old Testament. That's too hard to understand. And you have to read the entirety of it to understand, if nothing else, to understand the patterns. You read the stories of God's judgment and the history of ancient Israel, and there was these patterns. And there's always winds up being a remnant. There's a remnant. You get everybody, the vast majority of people wind up going off on this wrong path. And there's always God saves out a remnant. The church is reflective of that. It's not supposed to be inclusive. It's very exclusive. Only a remnant from the very beginnings of the Old Testament to the book of Revelation. It's a remnant. There's just this fraction of the people that actually get it, that actually devote themselves to it, that actually apply and do what they're supposed to do to try to better themselves and spiritually grow and use this time on earth for the reason God gave it to us. Again, I can't, this is because this story centers around somebody LARPing like this, I can't help but wind up being preachy. And if that's not your cup of tea, I'm sorry, but there's no way around it. The church is not supposed to be inclusive. You know that these churches, and the modern churches especially, they run around and they run on a business model. And the idea is we got to get more people in here. If more people in here, they put more money in the offering plate. More money in the offering plate means we're being a successful business. So we got to be inclusive. But the church is not. That's not the way it works. You read the letters from the apostles in the New Testament to the churches. Like, they'd go in, they'd set up a church, they'd get people converted, and then they'd have to leave because God sent them to the next place. They got to keep spreading the word. And they'd write these letters back because even back then they had these people. They had these people worm their way in and start teaching these opposite teachings, started teaching these heresies, started promoting these false doctrines. And they would be writing these letters going, no, what are y'all doing? This is not what we taught you. Even to the point where some of the apostles that went in and set up the early churches were banned from coming back. It's like, oh, don't welcome them. They can't come back. They were the one that set the church up. You see this, but this notion, and I'm getting off topic, I'm sorry, but this notion that the church is supposed to be inclusive and is somehow bad if it excludes people is the opposite. Once again, the opposite, the inversion of the way it's supposed to work, the inversion of what we're taught in the Bible, what we're taught through the stories in the Bible and the patterns we see from start to finish. It's another inversion. It's another lie. That's seven. You have these people running around. See, we got to be more inclusive. We got to tell people what they want to hear and bring them in. That we get more people here. That means winning, right? Well, no, if you're not teaching them the truth and helping them get on a path to bettering their lives, then no, you're not doing them any favor. You're just leading them farther down the path of damnation.
Yeah, the New Testament tells the churches that if people continue to sin, then they're supposed to be kicked out of the church and left for the devil to deal with. You know, it doesn't say, well, you should redefine sin so that it doesn't include fornication, adultery and sodomy so that these people can stay in the church. It tells you to remove them from the church, you know, that the churches were not inclusive in that way. Continuing here, one of the things that has kept with my ministry ever since is that transition and coming out can and should be a spiritual experience as well as an emotional and social and sometimes a physical one. There is something beautiful about growing into who we were created to be and growing into our authentic selves. They added, I try to get involved in, not just in my religious work, but outside of it, with the local secular LGBT youth groups. One of the biggest things is just being a visual representation in my community and going into schools, doing assemblies, and making a huge difference in normalizing it for children. When I'm wearing my collar, it lets children know that it's okay and that there is a place in church and the outside world for people like me. Bingo said they are in awe of how open-minded the younger generations they interact with are. Imagine that, they're saying how open-minded children are. Somebody talking about transgenderism and homosexuality, and they're saying how wonderful it is that the younger generations are far more open-minded. And this term here, this authentic selves, authentic, it seems you can't be authentic unless you're a homosexual, an out and extremely camp and flamboyant homosexual. You're not actually being your authentic self. And I don't get this idea where coming out is a trans-spiritual experience. Yes, but as you've been pointing out, Grandpa, not a Christian experience, and certainly, what do they mean? A physical experience. And then they say there's something beautiful about this. And I'm not sure if they're talking about changing their body, changing hormones, or whether they're talking about physical homosexual acts. I really don't like to think too much about it. But I do think that this person is confused. And by going into schools, they're just going to confuse the children all the more. I mean, what do you make of this, Grandpa?
This once again highlights this. I mean, this highlights this obsession with promoting this with children. That's just like I said earlier. This is why the groomer meme upset them so much, because it hits too close to home. We see this time we've circled back to this. We had all this other gibberish, and now we've circled back to this obsession with promoting it with children. Now, again, that's what the plus is about. They're being honest. They put the P in there. This is, they're obsessed with promoting this with children. With, yes, I mean, of course, children are over, you know, younger people are more open-minded because they don't know. And sadly, there's a lack of guidance and leadership. These people are coming in, and because moral and Christian people have shut up and they've become so fearful to say anything, it's created a vacuum. And these are the people that are coming in to fill this vacuum, to confuse these people at a young age. It amazes me that no matter what, all these stories always come back to promoting it to kids. They're obsessed with promoting this to children. And I would venture to say, Sven, there's a reason why.
Well, they're quite open about it, aren't they? You know, why they're doing it, they're trying to normalize it. And let's see what the effects of normalizing it with children has been. A recent survey by Stonewall found that more than a quarter of young people now identify as LGBT. The LGBTQ plus charity, that's Stonewall, claimed 71% of Generation Z respondents, or Gen Z, those aged 16 to 26, identify as straight. So they're assuming that the other 30% there must all be gay. Perhaps they didn't want to answer. Perhaps they didn't want to be identified as straight because that has now been made unfashionable. And I should imagine that also 30% of them did not identify as straight because they've been told that you could be born homosexual. It doesn't matter if you're actually engaging in these homosexual acts or not. You're still homosexual. Whatever the reason for it, that is a massive increase. They used to say that 2% of the population were homosexual, and we've gone from 2% to the youngest generation now, according to Stonewall, 30% of them are identifying as homosexual. The figure is a contrast to the baby boomer generation, those aged 56 to 75, in which 91% describe themselves as straight. Of the next generation, Gen X, described as being those aged 43 to 56, Stonewall said 87% said they were straight. The figure was 82% for millennials, those aged 27 to 42. In its report, which uses data from polling company Ipsos UK, Stonewall said the results show Britain is becoming a rainbow nation. So it shows that there is a huge increase in homosexuality among children, and that should be seen as shocking. It shouldn't be seen as a wonderful thing, you know, that our nation in Britain is turning homosexual, which is what they're saying here. At the end of every civilization, decadence sets in. And homosexuality, adultery, fornication become accepted. And those are all the things that happen before the civilization crashes. I mean, that is what we're seeing here. And yet the majority of people are just celebrating this and saying, oh, isn't it wonderful? We're becoming a rainbow nation, just like South Africa. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
All this poll shows is the spiraling downward of degeneracy. I mean, this poll reflect, they're trying to frame it up as, look how great this is. This is a positive thing. But this poll reflects the collapse of morality in a society. It's being celebrated. This is just showing, you know, as the generations, you know, you see a declining, a failure, a collapse in the moral fabric of the society. And as you've already pointed out, I mean, that's a collapsing society. That it's never been sustainable in the history of mankind. It's not going to be different this time. This is a collapsing morality. This is a collapsing society. And that's clearly reflected in this poll. And yet they try to frame it up and say, no, this is a wonderful thing. You see, now, finally, we're getting progress. That final line, Britain is becoming a quote unquote rainbow nation. As if this is a great thing. You see, the true measure of a successful society is how much man-on-man anal you're having. That is what that means. And somehow we're supposed to think this is a sign. This is a sign that things are getting better, when obviously they're getting much, much worse.
They're all off at the gay disco while Rome burns around their ears. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.